And welcome back to the NLP of Money series. My name is Mr. 2020. I do want to thank you for playing, participating, and for your custom requests, which are building this package. So let's start with a statement of, whenever I get paid, I raise the bar impossibly high. I put myself under a ton of pressure. Cool. What a neat thing to do. Again, language. Whenever I explore language, whether I'm pointing it out obviously or working with, bringing it in a little bit more subtly into the recordings. What I want to do, and what I choose to do with the recordings like this, is to help you notice not only what you say, but how you represent the world. And yeah, so that brings us to a point that's pretty interesting. It's not how the world is, it's how we represent it. It's sort of like representing the world. Again, we're taking apart words here. We're just moving the enunciation, the focus around a little bit. We're doing the same thing with your patterns, you know, whether it's obvious or subtle, depending upon the recording, whether it's the recording that was primarily made with you in mind, or bringing your bits back into some of the other recordings that we've made or, you know, will be making as a part of this package. What's really, really cool is flirting with how we represent, moving the focal point just a tiny little bit. Because really, what matters is not updating the programming. Well, it's not about reprogramming yourself. We can update the programming a little tiny bit. That seems to be useful. Again, a tiny little change in metaphor, but a huge difference in the way most people's minds and brains process. If we're going to reprogram your mind, often there's fear and resistance, just like putting a new operating system on your computer. On the other hand, Windows has some updates. You know, they're pretty much invisible. They're in the background, but it's important that we do them. Good deal. So, whenever I get paid, I raise the bar impossibly high and put myself under a ton of pressure. So, there's stuff here about height. There's stuff, you know, I raise the bar high, impossibly high. I put myself under a ton of pressure, so on and so forth. And how interesting is that compared to flow? And again, as we notice different, not just metaphors and how we represent, get back to the present, represent the, you know, our minds, our psychology, our neurology, but literally, we want to bring science into this as well. In my backyard, there's a little gully. It's called Keringle Gully. And in Keringle Gully, there's flow. What's really neat, for the most part, there's not much pressure, but there's a lot of flow. And when I think about pressure and I think about flow and I notice bits, you know, my grandfather was a fireman, and we were talking one day about pressure years ago. And he said if you took the amount of water that flows through a fire hose that's used to fight fires, I mean, they're at like 4 inches in diameter or something like that, and if you could put that through a half-inch piece of pipe, the same amount of water flowing through, in other words, there'd be a tremendous amount of pressure, the pressure would be cutting. You know, literally, I mean, it would just cut through things. So what I want you to do is I want you to notice the squeeze. I want you to notice the squeeze that shows up while I'm working on the recording. I want you to notice the squeeze that shows up in you when it is about money. Asking it, asking for it, receiving it, spending it. You know, we all have different points where the pressure can show up. Sometimes it's in the asking. Sometimes it's in the receiving. Sometimes it's in the spending. Sometimes it's in the savings. You know, when I think about the kids, and they seem to think that money grows on trees. And there's another bit here about an Indian name. Yeah, different little bit we'll bring in. Money's gone. That's probably how we'll start the next recording. Money's gone. The pressure. When there's pressure, there's almost like a reverberation. When I listen to good poetry, I could even recite some good poetry. They painted the walls to stop my pen, but the outhouse poet strikes again. There's flow. Flow's an interesting bit. So if I was going to toss a little piece of homework into this recording so far, it would be not to just notice what we're noticing so far, again, raising the bar impossibly high, putting us under a ton of pressure. Hey, we can do that. I play with that. I played with it in making this recording. I played with it before making this recording because I thought, you know, I can raise the bar impossibly high on my performance for this recording. You know, maybe I should wait an hour, clear my throat a little bit more, take another page of notes instead of just, you know, what I've written so far. Maybe I can make it 10 pages of notes. Well, you know, my girlfriend gets here in like less than 24 hours, actually about 12 hours. And so, okay, well, I could really... I'm not even that good at almost trying to do it now. I played with it a little bit earlier just to, you know, yeah, I try the patterns on. Wherever you are, try in other people's money patterns. So, well, why not? So you'll notice as I'm just sort of rambling here, so we want to notice a few things. First, there's flow. Then there's the potential for pressure. Third, there's the possibility for just simple rambling. Yeah, sort of like an rambling kind of bit. Some of the rambling I do is very intentional, you know, because sometimes rambling is pretty darn useful. Other rambling is just sort of like bumble stumbling along a little bit. Sort of like, you know, when I was a child, I was watching, you know, my neighbor was washing his car. And the water would run on the road and trickle down the street. And literally the water was forming its own little tiny gully, its own little tiny river, its own little tiny stream that it was doing. It was sort of searching its way out. So one of the things that we can do when it comes to money, we've got a lot of certainty around it. And we've got a lot of uncertainty around it. Both, they can get in the way of the flow. So let's explore some tiny bits around that. Because, you know, literally, certainty, okay, I know how to make money by teaching. I've done that. I've traded time for money. I also know how to make money but with marketing at this point. Because I can take a package, I can sell it repeatedly, and basically multiply the amount of money I get out of one unit of time. So I've got two ways of making money that I'm certain about. There's some more bits that I can do. I can make some of this a part of a membership site that costs $7 or $70 a month, or $700 a month, depending upon the site and what I want to do with it, and who, you know, I think it, you know, it would appeal to and what I can deliver. But I'm not all that certain around membership sites. I haven't put much time into those. So that's something that I got to research or farm out or learn about. Well, even if I'm going to farm it out, I've got to learn enough about it to be able to ask intelligent questions and to be able to run the thing effectively. So I've got areas where I'm certain about how to make money. I've been good at investing at different times in my life. I've been good at reselling at different times in my life. And so I get to notice where I have certainty. We can also, you know, I was just speaking with a lady the other day, and the subject of medicine men, you don't pay a medicine man. And what an interesting conversation that gets to be around me, because back in the old days, there was something called Indian giving, and we're going to play a little bit with flow here. So when it comes to Indian giving, as I take a tiny little sip of coffee this morning in Tampa, Florida, so, as we explore Indian giving was traditionally this. Indian giving was, if you give me something, odds are I'm going to give it to someone else at some point. If you look at what most people think Indian giving is, that's not what how it's presented. But it is how it was, and it is how it truly is. So if you give me something, odds are at some point I'm going to give it to someone else. Even if it's one of my most treasured things. And I won't just haphazardly give it away. I'll give it to the next person who it's supposed to go to. That's Indian giving. And so if we look at Indian giving, and you know, it's been said in recent history, well, you didn't pay a medicine man. We didn't ask for money. We didn't accept money. Well, back in the old days, Indians didn't have money. They were constantly, they had economy. Now, I want you to think about the word economy. So, economical action, economy, okay, economy of motion. So, in the martial arts, I have economy of motion. I'm very good at some very specific things. And one of the ways you can tell if someone's very good at very specific things is the lack of wasted motion, the lack of wasted effort, the lack of, I'll bring it back to pressure. So, in martial arts, I have economy of motion. I don't have economy of motion in dance yet. I will. I'm developing economy of motion in singing. I'm learning how to sing well, which I find fascinating. Economy of motion in singing, but it sounds different. It just doesn't look different, but it sounds different. So I want you to think about economy. Now, in the Native American bits, again, we're spiraling around some stuff. This is really good stuff. The Native American economy had three primary parts. One, barter. If I made arrow shafts and you made arrowheads, we might barter back and forth. That way, both of us can have some complete arrows. So that's called bartering. The second bit was the giveaway. If something good happened, if something tragic happened, we gave away bits. It's just part of the stuff. So if there was a birth, we gave away stuff. If there was a death, we gave away stuff. And we just didn't haphazardly give away. We would notice, you know what? My buddy Dale really appreciates my shoes. And they'll fit him. So I'll give those to him next time I do a giveaway. His wife, Pam, she really likes my scarf. Next time I do a giveaway, I'll give her the scarf. And so we did giveaways all the time. Something tragic, something wonderful, maybe a new moon, maybe a full moon. But there was always giving away. And the third bit was gambling, taking a risk. In other words, I bet you can, I bet you this will happen. That kind of stuff. We gambled, we risked, just so there would be motion. Because we understood that motion is what's important. Because without motion, the emotions get caught up. Okay, literally, you can watch someone who's, when the emotions get stuck, literally it leads to some sort of neurosis. Yes, or psychosis, or something with an osis at the end of it. It actually leads to some sort of hypnosis. There's been some really interesting research done by a couple people. Wilhelm Reich did some interesting stuff. I'm not a big fan of Reich in some ways, but he did some really interesting research on emotions being stuck, as did the Science of Mind fella. I forget what his name was offhand. I really like him as well. But sort of in the middle of the book, The Science of Mind, he talks about stuck emotions and what happens. So literally, we talk about economy, we talk about emotion, we talk about the energy. We talk about the flow, we talk about the pressure. And we get to do something about it as well. So if you notice, okay, we'll toss some bits around here. My friend Todd Silva ran something, still has something at giveawayadollaraday.com. We encourage people to give away a dollar a day. He does it in a way that's really cute. He does it anonymously. It's pretty cool. I've done it. I've not done it. It's another thing we could play with is see if you can get someone to give you a dollar every day. How would you do that? How would you do that and eliminate pressure? Can I have a dollar? Can I borrow a dollar? Will you pay me a dollar to walk your dog? I need a dollar. How many ways could you ask for or hint around asking for? Could you make it very simple? We could do obvious requests. We've explored those in some of the trainings and how beautiful they are. I request that you send me a dollar today. Notice, let's go into the nature of requests for a moment. And so a naked request goes like this. A naked request is, I request that you do X by a specific time. So I request that you give me a dollar now. Very, very simple, very, very naked. I request that you accept a dollar from me now. I request that you send me a dollar next Tuesday. I request that you accept a dollar from me next Tuesday. just playing with these tiny little bits. By the way, you can do this with money, you can do this with anything. But what you want to do is notice the nature of what, you want to notice what shows up in you and them when you make a request, especially when it's that naked. And then if you play with that tiny little exercise, just a tiny little bit, you're going to experience what the blocks are to flow. You're also going to discover, we talked earlier in some of the recordings about hiding. We did that obviously, and we also played with it subtly as well. So what I want you to notice is how you hide. I need a dollar. I want a dollar. It would be so nice to have a dollar. Some people tell, I had a buddy, Jake, he would tell long stories, you know, story. And what it came down to is he wanted money. It'd be so much easier. I'd say, one day I told him, I said, Jake, listen, what I need you to do is just ask. Okay? I just need you to ask. That's all. Just ask. It's funny. We all can do these tiny little bits. Jake would tell me the story out loud. Sometimes I notice that I'll run that. I'll be talking with someone and I'll think, yeah, you know, there's a huge difference between if I just say, hey, okay, we're in the middle of this project, the NLP of Money project. There's a huge difference between that and, I wonder if I can get him to buy if I talk about it. And it's neat to watch when both of those have the opportunity to show up in you. They always do. At any point in time, we've got the opportunity for something very simple to show up, where you just want to share something or request something. And we've got the opportunity to block or to wiggle around it because we've got some level of force going on. See, part of the difference between me just going, you know, if somebody says, what are you up to today? And, you know, I'm making a really nice recording series about the NLP of money. You got to check it out. I think you'd enjoy it. Anyway, that's what I did this morning. I made two recordings for it. How about you? Okay. And you know, now here's the thing. I could just say, yeah, I made some recordings. I did some work. Okay. Now, both of those are true. I can tell someone about it. I can tell someone very little about it. Still mention about my day. But I can notice, why am I doing that? Why am I not telling them? Why am I telling them? Noticing the whys. Why do I feel comfortable asking for money? Why do I feel uncomfortable spending it? Why do I feel uncomfortable accumulating it? Why do I feel comfortable accumulating it? You can just notice these bits. And by the way, two ways that question can go. Why can take us back into our history. We've talked about four phases: past, projection, past, projection into the future, identity, and busy bit, right? So, and that's all good. Now, what's really, really cool, if, let me just step back a little tiny bit into just what I was just talking about. So, naked requests. Okay, I request that you give me a dollar today. I request that you give away a dollar today. I request that you accept a dollar today. I request that you put a dollar in a piggy bank today. Nice and naked. Compare that to, I need to start saving money. I need to save a dollar. I need to make some money. I want to make some money. I choose to make some money. All good, all interesting, all revealing different kinds of pressure, all revealing different ways that you can motivate or demotivate. You can energize or de-energize yourself. In other words, notice your words and notice the words that people use around money and life. And love. Notice how they breathe. Notice when they hold their breath. Notice, for years, by the way, I never accepted money. I'd have people just put it on the table. Or I had them give it to my partner at the time. Just pay her. She'll take care of it for me. Part of the adventure in this lifetime I get to flirt with is accepting money and accumulating money. And spending money. It's part of yours as well. We all have our own way of doing that. So, naked requests. Let's explore naked promises. A naked promise is yes or no. That's all. Very simple. But if we go into a tiny bit more detail, yes, I promise to do X by time way. I promise to give you a dollar now. I promise to accept a dollar from you now. We get to notice what gets in the way as well. I promise not to give you a dollar now. I just noticed I blinked four times when I said that. That's interesting. That's different than my earlier bit. And so when I toss this to you as well, we get to notice when we're doing these things, what stories show up, what presuppositions show up. We've explored those earlier in the training. And we also get to notice stuff like four little blinks, or a shifting left to right, or a leaning back, or a scrunching down, or a raising the bar impossibly high. We get to notice what we do physiologically. We get to notice what we do inside our minds representationally, raising the bar, feeling under pressure, feeling distant. Sometimes we actually get physically distant from other people. Sometimes we get closer. So, where do we go from here with these bits? Let me pause the recording for just a moment. Here's part of the deal. Here's part of the way it works. So I pause the recording for just a moment. I clear my throat, drink a little coffee, come on back. And so when we pause for just a moment, you know, I'm working on my 2012 strategy. So we're going to dive a little bit into some previous requests and some stuff also around this requester as well. Why? Because we can. What's really nice with the way that this series has been coming together, since I interweave some of other people in the recordings as well, you know, we're all in this together. Let me just say that, shut up and go on. So, as I'm working with my 2012 strategy, let's talk about strategy and tactics. If you draw a straight line across, that's tactics. In other words, let's draw a straight line across and put vertical lines through it, small little vertical lines. So we have a straight line, sort of like a yardstick or a meter stick, let's say, and we've got little wee lines just chopped, right? And so if we want to talk tactically, here's tactically. Ready? There's a bill due at this line, so before this line, I better make some money. So here's a line that represents a bill, here's a line that represents a pay. Here's a line that represents an output, here's a line that represents an input. And we've got to have so many lines of input to so many lines of output. It's a straight across, like a yardstick with little bits, right? So that's called tactically approaching money. Let's talk about strategically approaching money, because tactics are good in, well, when crap hits the fan, tactics are good for survival. But let's talk about strategy. Strategy is more like a staircase. And so here's strategy. I had $1,000 worth of guns. I sold them and I bought I sold them. And I bought $1,000 worth of recording equipment, video equipment. This is back in 2003. So I sell $1,000 worth of guns, I buy $1,000 worth of video gear. Out of that $1,000 worth of video gear, I produce at least $10,000 to $50,000 worth of videos. I produce $10,000 to $50,000 worth of videos, I market the snot out of them, duplicate them, have a lot of fun, get burned out, let them go to the wayside. It's now 2011, and guess what I got? I still have these videos. They're ancient. I have no interest in them. However, there are people that are interested in what those videos are about. So what I'm currently doing is repackaging them and repurposing them and putting them up on Amazon.com. Now what's nice, through CreateSpace on Amazon, they'll duplicate them, they'll sell them, and then they'll send me money. So I don't have to market them, I don't have to package them, I don't have to mail them, I don't have to carry them around the world, I don't have to send them around the world. Amazon does all that for me. All I got to do is basically check my copy, make sure it's good, write some numbers on it, write the ad copy, which takes me about an hour per disc, send it to them, and they'll sell them forever. So let's talk about pauses. Let's talk about strategy. Let's talk about tactics. So an ineffective strategy would have... See, one way that I can look at life is this. I set a goal once of making $300 a day in internet marketing. And that required literally that I focus on $300 worth of production a day. Now, some days I'd make six, some days I'd make 50. But if I made 50, I was stressed. If I made 60, I was or 600, I was elated. But there was still, yeah, you know what? It's $300 a day. And that started getting in the way of bits. So I started breaking it down to weekly and monthly goals instead. I could still track it by the day, but whenever it's by the month, that's different. So I start to create something that creates less pressure with the same kind of results. And so whenever I notice what's possible around those kinds of bits, I'm looking at my 2012 money strategy, business strategy. It includes Forex, it includes coaching, it includes trainings, it includes travel, it includes a lot of bits. But one of the things that I'm building into it is, how do I do it so that I don't have to continuously work? How can I do it so that I can have on time and off time? Because as a Da Vinci, I need on time and off time. As a businessman, as a family man, as someone who lives literally in multiple parts of the world at this point in my life, I need off time. And I need production time. And I need to know that there's going to be some sort of recurring income. And I need to know that there's ways that I can multiply my income. You know, literally, if the markets are right and my mindset is right, okay, I can do very well at Forex, and I have. And if my mindset is wrong or the markets are not doing what, yeah, it's not an ideal trading market for me, I can lose money, and I have. And what I can do is literally, there are times where I can do a training, you know, flat on for a week, flat on for a weekend. I can do a 9-month training, I can do a 12-month training, I can do a 9-week training. But what I want to do, and what I choose to do, is develop a strategy that allows me to do all those things, but to do it in a way that's balanced. And so when I'm working with my Forex people, one of the things that I notice is, if we set a goal of, let's say, we'll call them points, 20 points per day, that can put us under pressure. Because there'll be some days where it's easy for you to get 20 points. There'll be some days where it's easy for you to get 60. Okay? And there'll be some days where it's almost impossible for you to get 20. And if you beat yourself up and drive yourself crazy, you'll probably end up losing points. And then things go crazy. So what we get to do is develop, you know, the capacity to go, okay, you know, the objective this month is to do 200 points. And to do 200 points in a way that it generates, you know, $4,000 worth of income. And while we're generating $4,000 worth of income, while generating 200 points, this is how I have to approach it. Cool. And it's a little bit more complex than just going, you know, 20. And there's nothing wrong with 20. But, yeah, you know, I noticed last week, I think I did 5. I did five. I did 4, 10 down, and 11 up. I didn't have a whole bunch of time to trade, and I didn't like the markets. I sat in front of the charts a good bit, did some other stuff while I sat in front of the charts as well to, you know, build up like my little DVD bits for Amazon. You see, that's strategically. And strategy is a little bit more involved with than tactics. Tactics, this is due then, so I better generate that. Then, so I've got a niche that says I got to make your money in this one, and I got to spend money in that one. And that's part of life. But whenever we have it amping up a staircase, lifting us higher and higher, literally I get to go, okay, how do I take a project and set it up so that it not only serves you now, but it serves you again and again and again? In other words, let's talk about compounding real quick. In other words, if I can record a session, whether it's a phone coaching session or making a recording like this, okay, literally, one of the things that I notice is you can benefit from it repeatedly because you can listen to it repeatedly. So literally, I could do a phone session, $100 an hour, no problem. On the other hand, I can do a recording for $100 an hour, no problem. And the we can do the phone session and not record it. We can do the phone session and record it. Or we can do a custom recording and record it. And either way, the session that's not recorded will benefit and bless. The session that's recorded, will, odds are, will benefit and bless repeatedly, much more. Because every time you listen to it, something, as you grow and change, your understanding and my understanding of the recording will grow and change. And if we make something that's available for the public, other people get to benefit as well. And I can't help but notice this. Literally, if we decide, if we commit that what we're doing benefits more than just us, we get supported very, very well. So that's another way we can increase the flow without increasing the pressure. And again, yeah, there's, if you read Power versus Force, David Hawkins talks about some of this. And literally, if you watch like the Olympics and watch some really big athletes, and again, we've talked about this before in other recordings, you know, literally, whenever you dedicate, if I dedicate this not just for my own personal income or your own personal growth, but if the energy that this course is dedicated in is not only for the people that listen to it, but for the people that are around you, and my own personal exploration so that it benefits, you know, my partner, my friends, my family. The more I include in this, in my mind, you know, literally, you know, I can't help but notice, you know, the wisdom that shows up, the contextualization that shows up. If I hold this in a context that benefits more than me, more than you, more than us, more than just the group that's purchasing this, what shows up is much more profound and useful. So that's where we are with this. I'll be back in just a moment to make the next recording. So again, my name is Mr. 2020. I do want to thank you for ordering your custom recording, getting this package, and choosing to live life a heck of a lot more full out than most people do. Because when it comes down to it, gosh, we've got the capacity, we really do, we've got the capacity to put ourselves under pressure by representing the world instead of just being present with it. You know, literally, it's an honor to serve you. And it's an honor to literally participate in an economy, participate in an economy of motion, to participate in what's possible with you. So I'll be back in just a short bit. See ya. And welcome back to the NLP of Money recordings. My name is Mr. 2020. And so the will to survive is bigger than the will to thrive. Let's start there with that thought today. So again, I do want to thank you for investing, for listening, for sharing. You know, we all have money talk in our head. And so by listening to these recordings, by sharing what you're sharing with me, we all get to have new and improved, or at the very least, different money talk in our head. You know, there's something about in Ayurveda, whenever that was part of my college studies, it's basically the Hindu / Indian with a dot, not Indian with a feather, way of healing and health, let's say, you know, just to keep it real simple. In Ayurveda, one of the things that they say is you want to have all five colors of food. You want to have all five primary colors, all five primary tastes, all that kind of bit. So whatever you got going on, we want some variety. In other words, if you look at the way a lot of people eat, they tend to eat the same thing, the same thing, the same spices and stuff. And me too. Yeah, I love garlic and ginger. I eat a lot of it. But it's good every now and then to have something that's a little bland or a little different or having some different color in it. And I do eat pretty well, you know. One of the things that I notice whenever we're making dinner or you're just noticing what we eat throughout the week, we might have lamb, we might have fish, we might have a little bit of beef. We tend to have a variety of vegetables as well, you know, different colors, different spice. Some nights it's Asian, some nights it's more of a curry, some nights it's just simple, you know, like butter. But we get to, you know, and herbs out of the garden. So variety, one of the things we're exploring in this series of recordings is a variety of ways around money, ways with money, ways of representing with money. And so let's talk about education. Let's toss a little bit about that in there, you know. Try this on. To get a good job, to make good money, you've got to go to college. What a neat little statement. To get a good job, to make good money, you need to go to college. I've heard stuff like this repeatedly from lots of people, not just growing up, but as a grown-up. And I find it interesting because there have been years where I've made a lot more money than most people I know that have gone to college. And there are years where I've made next to nothing. And that's all fine. I know college grads, same bit. I know some that have never used their education. And one thing I can say is I'm constantly learning. Constantly. You know, not just learning from outside things, but inside things as well. So, let's talk about the basics of money. Okay? My one buddy, easy come, easy go, that's his basics, that's his presuppositions. Pretty neat. Werner Erhard, One of the things that I gleaned whenever we modeled Werner back in 2009 was when we make distinctions, they have to be about something, not against something. So if we focus on, this is what I don't want to become, that's the first step. But there's no distinctions about that. There's almost a separation there. So before we can get to distinctions, we have to separate and say, I don't want to be something, or I don't want to do something, or I don't want to be poor, or I don't want to go month to month anymore. That's separation. You can feel the separateness in that. When I'm coaching people, or if that shows up in my own life, there's a separateness. And so if we just change a tiny little bit around all this, we get to move around and go, okay, what do I want? What do I choose? What am I moving towards? What am I welcoming into my life? If I was going to make a request, what would it be? Because we can't make a request about, I request that I'm not poor anymore. That could mean that you're dead, or that you are hit by the bus, or you could be living in a culture that has no rich or poor. So we don't have enough of a distinction when we're going anti. So one of the things that we get to do is we get to start sorting out. Now, when I'm asking questions about this bit, and this goes primarily to one requester and also to some other ones, again, I feel the need to mention that a few times. And I'm curious where that comes from. So when I find out, I'll let you know. So literally when we start to sort out bits and we start to organize bits a little bit, again, two ways of sorting out, strategically and tactically. A tactical sort out basically would involve the yardstick, knowing I've got 800 going out on this date, I need to put at least 800 in before that date. By the way, we all do it. I've done it in the past week. Cool. What I've also done is taken the time and start mapping out, okay, this is becoming more three-dimensional now, mapping out my 2012. So I'll give you a little bit more details. I have one program that I'm developing right now. It's going to be a 9-week series of downloads, sort of like killfeardead.com. It's going to be a 9-week series that basically involves downloading stuff for 9 weeks, recordings in a handbook. That'll be $97 on special. We're going to do the same program with 3 calls built in for, I believe, $297. So there'll be 3 phone calls, 3 private calls, during the course, probably one every 3 weeks approximately, during the course, so that you can get some customized coaching along with the program. And that'll be, for example, about $297. I'm also kicking around a longer course. That'll be $997 to $2,000 approximately, by including weekly coaching, or I may take the steps out to 9 months. So it's and that's the one thing I'm really seriously considering, making it a 9-month program as well. And during each month, having 2 calls. And those 2 calls, again, would accomplish a lot more in depth, and the 9-month trading would have a lot more depth than the 9-week just work on your own bit, or the 9-week with the 3 calls, or the 9-month with 2 calls per month and going really into depth with the bits. But literally, the neatest thing will be with that, this is one package. In other words, you could approach it one out of 3 ways. The $97 9-week way, the $300 approximately 9-week way with 3 phone calls, or the 9-month way, which has a lot more of my time involved in it and yours. But it'll be for the people that want to go deeper. Now, what's nice about that, strategically, okay, I'm taking one unit of material and using it 3 different ways. Now, one way will serve one kind of person, another way will serve another kind of person, another way will serve another kind of person. The one that requires the most of my time, you have to pay the most for. The one that requires the least amount of my time, you get to pay the least for. And more people benefit, both ways. So, go figure. That's thinking strategically. So, where else in my life can I apply that? I'm currently living between the U.S. and Australia. And so when I look at that, I get to go, okay, how can I, utilize that? So I've got family in the U.S., I've got family in Oz. And so if I'm traveling back and forth, one of the things that I could do is doing rural USA tours, because I notice most of the people in Oz hit the same travel destinations. But if we started them out in Florida and took them up to the northeastern United States, they could experience a series of cultures. Literally, the Florida community is different than the Mid-Carolinas, which is different than the West Virginia, which is different than the Pennsylvania, which is different than New York. And literally, a real-world tour, taking, you know, 4-6 people and starting in Florida and working up north and then, you know, getting back to Oz with them, that would pay for my trip back to the U.S. Okay, so, you know, me, my partner, we could come to the U.S., visit friends and family, fly back to Oz, get the trip paid for, and take a month and have a heck of an adventure. That could be really cool. Again, it's a way of taking something that I gotta do. Okay, yeah, I gotta visit family. I gotta. Yeah, it's just part of the bits. I love people. I love my people. And I can introduce my people to more of my people and run these neat little tours so people can experience the real America. Because it's really crazy when I talk to people that visit America and they tell me, yeah, L.A., San Fran, New York, yada, 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 Vegas. And it's like, you didn't see America. You saw the tourist spots. I want you to see America. I want you to meet Americans. I want you to experience the culture. And if you want to do that, we could do it for probably about the same amount of money, if not less. And, gosh, that would pay for my trip back and forth. That'd be fun. And we could hang out together and have a blast. And if it's Forex traders, we can trade Forex. That'd be cool. And if it's internet marketers, or a combination of both, we can do that. Or if it's coaching clients, I could even do a training. That'd be fun. I just thought of that. I could do a training that basically, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to spend a month together. Okay, we'll train, we'll do my weird NLP stuff a couple hours a week, do some little group sessions, do some private stuff, and we'll just travel from Florida up the coast. It'll be a blast. You can experience the real U.S. and do a month's worth of training. We'll do some trading, whatever, yada, yada, yada. You see, that's how the mind can work. This is how you can let your mind work for you. On the other hand, part of the training that I'm developing around that, by the way, let me just toss this in because this is pretty important. You're intelligent, and your mind is really fast. The problem is that it's under-tasked. And when it's under-tasked, what it does is it goes insane. It starts generating problems so it can generate solutions. I've often said if we want to end the drug abuse, you know, in the United States or in the world, let's just reintroduce saber-toothed tigers. Because if you're stoned, you're dinner. On the other hand, if we want to end worry and end stress, let's just start focusing on what's real. If we start focusing on what's real and what's really important, all the fake crap that we generate in our heads will stop. In other words, if we start applying ourselves to living life, we'll stop living life in our heads. Your mind really wants to do stuff. And when we don't give it enough stuff to do, or real stuff to do, it'll generate fake stuff. You know, literally. So, you know, what happens when we get more real? You know, literally. So if we're talking about the mind, it's not just enough to, you know, meditate or medicate it, okay? Because, you know, we can basically drink till it stops, or we can meditate till it stops. Both of those could be useful or not. But what if we just decide, you know what? What I'm going to do is really live. I'm going to get passionate about something, you know? I watch my girlfriend in the garden. She's gorgeous because she's fully present with the garden. It's so much better than driving down the street and watching people medicate themselves. That's crazy. Anyway, there's some thoughts for you. So what else are we going to do in this recording? Let me pause for a moment, drink a coffee, and wait for the good stuff to show up. Input and output. We breathe in, we breathe out. You eat food, you take a dump. Okay, we call it a Nixon. I got that from Kinky Friedman, performer, good guy. Also attempted to be a politician, but he was too real. Real and funny, because he just pointed out the ridiculousness of a whole bunch of stuff in American politics. Anyway, so what do we do with all these bits? The breathing in and breathing out cycles. You know, if we resist any part of a cycle, you're resisting the whole cycle. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Don't resist any of them. Breathing in, breathing out. Don't resist any of them. If we're going to make a distinction, we get to go, okay, let's just engage the flow in all of them. If we're going to engage the flow in them, we get to notice where there's pressure. And where there's pressure, we've taken literally, okay, what should be a fire hose and tried to cram it down through a, you know, a half-inch piece of pipe. And that cuts. And if you notice when there's pressure, literally, when there's back pressure moving through a pipe, there's a shudder kind of bit. You can hear it. You know, I had a house where I would open up the faucet, and as the water would attempt to rush through the pipe, you could hear the pipe rumble kind of bit. Nice. If you try to eat too fast, if you try to breathe too fast, slow down. But when it comes to slowing down, that doesn't mean to stop. And yet there are times when stopping is useful. I stopped the recording for a few moments. I did it in this one. I did it in the previous one. I just stopped. Cleared things out for a moment. You know, literally, if we're talking strategically, okay, one of the things that we get to do is we get to accumulate some downtime. We get to accumulate some uptime. In other words, I get to have $50 in my wallet, or $500 in my wallet, or $500 in my savings. Or $50 in my savings. I get to have the capacity to put a chunk of money on a bill. I get to have the capacity to get by day. And that's all part of the process. Literally, think about the way your heart beats. Blood just doesn't flow like it does in Kringle Gully through your veins. There's a boom, 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 boom. There's a rhythm. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Notice where you resist the rhythm. Notice where we try to force. Notice where we can accept. Notice where you're playing tactically with money and where you're playing tactically in life. And notice where you can play strategically. So I'm talking on the phone the other day, and there's a woman who's using what we call the IU push a whole bunch. And oftentimes this shows up in people's backgrounds when they get stuck. It's really funny, and it's a good thing to be aware of. So what she's telling me, she says, well, you know what it's like. I mean, you can imagine if you got breast cancer. I could imagine if I got breast cancer. She goes, well, no. You know, I mean, but if you got breast cancer, I mean, I'm thinking, I'm a guy, right? Odds are that's not going to happen to me. But anyway, so we talk a little bit. And she says, well, you know, whenever you do this. I said, when I do that? And I go, oh, no, when people do that. Well, then say people. Well, you know, whenever you call someone on the phone out of the blue and you're a little stressed out, me? No, when I do it. Yeah, got it. So, when you listen to the IU push as a child and as an adult, and when you use the IU push, you know, literally using the you when you should be using an I, okay? Okay, when I'm making a recording, okay, odds are most of the people listening to this aren't making recordings. So if I say, whenever you're making a recording and you're watching the lines go across the screen and you're thinking about what to say and you're noticing what shows up, that's not going to make much sense to you, really, compared to if I tell you, you know, whenever I'm making a recording and I'm noticing what's going across the screen, not just on the computer, but the screen inside my mind. And I really don't think about what to say a whole bunch. I've already written out some notes that I got for reference, but mostly that's so I can sort things out. Like I'm sorting out my strategy for 2012. And I'm sorting out my strategy, yeah, literally for the rest of my life. And the nice thing about a strategy is it does give the mind a focal point. Because if we're going to grow, not just in wealth, but in health and in life, literally your mind focuses on what you tell it to. What you ask it to. I request that you focus on a strategic plan for 2012. So if I say that out loud, not just in my head, it gets processed in a different way. We've talked about this before, but we'll go back to it. And if I write it out, I get to look at it as I'm writing it and after I've written it, and I get to read it after I've written it. And every time we do things a tiny bit differently like that, they get processed a tiny bit differently. So people say, you know what, it's good to write out your goals. Well, it's also good to write out what you're doing, because if you write out your goals, they're probably in the future. If you write out what you're doing, like right now, I'm speaking out what I'm doing. I'm cleaning up my language. I'm streamlining process. I'm developing a more comprehensive strategy for 2012 and 2013. As I speak it out to you, I get to hear it. If I listen to the recordings again, I get to hear it again. And if we go back to the whole IU push as a kid, okay, well, you know what it's like whenever you're under stress, whenever you have money problems, whenever, you know, I heard that when I didn't have money problems, but I took it in, and then I had money problems. On the other hand, you know what it's like whenever you decide it's time for me to let go of some stuff in the past. You know what it's like whenever you decide to update your presuppositions, what you presuppose about you and money and possibility. You know what it's like whenever you decide, you know what, I'm going to start living strategically around money and in life. That doesn't mean I've got to plan everything out. But it's funny because some people, they go, well, I don't want to plan out my entire life. Well, that means probably you've got a simple tactical plan versus a strategic plan that multiplies results. And again, if we're going to multiply results, or if we're going to compound a little bit and or a lot, one of the things that we get to notice is this. You know, I can compound my results here. Again, by making a recording set. And by making a recording set and making it in a way that a lot of people benefit. Again, it's not just the intention, but it's also the method around it. So, let's bring a little bit of David Hawkins' power versus force in, because this is really good. If you look on his chart, if you don't got it, that's okay. I'll just give you what matters for right now. We start by admitting where we are. We start by admitting what's possible. So as I look at 2012, I go, okay, my mailing lists are this big. So I got to factor that into what I'm doing. I also get to go, okay, this is what my people are looking for. Got it. What else? And I can start looking at what can I deliver? What can I deliver that will make a difference? And I look at that. And I start working, how can I deliver it so that the most people can utilize it? Because some people will just have a little bit of money. Some will have more money. Some will want to do a comprehensive program. Some, no matter what their money level, will just want to do a study at home bit. Some will probably want to do more. And I had one guy, he bartered a course with me. And he provided services for me that I needed. Cool. I told him, what can you afford? You pay that, and the rest will barter out. And it was a wonderful time. We both benefited tremendously from that. Again, there's flexibility with strategy. There's almost no flexibility with tactics. And we get to just notice and develop some comprehensiveness. I get to notice with trading, five pips a day can take me to be a millionaire. Okay, all I got to do is just double up periodically. And there's a way to do that. With every so many periods, I double the size of the contract. 20 pips a day will get me closer even faster. There'll be some markets where I can do 20. There'll be some markets where I can do 5. And that's all good. I just notice what I can do. And that's what I do. I notice what I can't do, and that removes the pressure. One of the things I can't do today is live coaching in Honolulu, Hawaii. I may be doing that in 6 months or a year, though. We'll see. The beautiful bit is, I can't do it today because I'm in Tampa, Florida, and I have no interest, and I don't have the extra cash to fly to Tampa. I'm sorry, to Hawaii. But I do have the money that I need for a couple upcoming projects and deadlines. And I've got the capacity as well, yada, 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 so on and so forth. So, requests, promises, tactics, strategy. In the previous recording, we talked about raising the bar. We've talked about Indian names as well. Money's gone? I think that's how we started this one. Money's gone? Money can come and go, and it will. Oxygen in, oxygen out. Yeah, it's some mixture of oxygen and other bits, and some mixture of oxygen and other bits going out. Money comes, money goes. That's the name of the game. On the other hand, wealth. Wealth accumulates. As I get older, I notice the wealth of knowledge, experience, and strength that I have accumulates. And if I choose to learn how to help people get what I got, and help me get what they got, in other words, if I can mentor with people and mentor people, if I can help people cut through their stuff, the world is a wonderful place. And that's where we get to play. We get to play in the present. And we can play in the present even more by noticing how we represent, how we represent our world. And we get to respond to the invitation to come home. So, my name is Mr. 2020. I do thank you for listening and for playing today. The NLP of Money series. God, this is really a lot of fun. This is great. I thank you so much for all that you do, for who you are, and what's possible. Up until December 25th, we're going to keep putting out these custom recordings. So, rock and roll. Keep checking back in at the download center because, as more people order, the package size keeps growing, which is really cool. I really appreciate your shares and just give me updates. Let me know what you're up to, what you're learning, what you're experiencing. And, I'll make sure I factor those into later recordings as well. And I think that's one of the beautiful bits because, the longer the project goes on, the more recordings we have. And it's not just the number of recordings, but your evolution as well gets to show up. Your questions and evolution and stories continue to show up. So thank you. Have a wonderful day. Visit innercircleproducts.com. See ya.